You're listening to the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott, providing you inspiration, information, knowledge, and motivation to help you on your soul's path. Covering topics related to health and happiness from the mystical to the metaphysical and everything in between. Making the unknown known. Now let's join the podcast to discover today's topic. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This is the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast. With me, of course, Mr. Michael Philpott, and we're going to have a fantastic show. We're going to have an interesting show. We're going to talk about ascending or awakening into the five dimensions. We're going to talk about near-death experiences. We're going to talk about healing energies and a few things. But before we get started, I always like to say thank you to all my listeners who are listening on Spotify, listening on Apple. I thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And for those who are listening, you can actually watch my video on YouTube. So if you're watching the video, thank you so much. Hit that like button, subscribe. I need some love in that department there. That subscriptions, we're hurting there. So please do that. And also too, as well, this show is funded by you, the listener. So if you want to like to make a donation, there is donations link in each episode description. So if you want to donate, send a little extra love to the channel, I would greatly appreciate that. And that being said, Kimberly, how are you, my friend?
Great. Thank you, Michael. How are you?
Sorry, you got me mid-drinking there. I'm doing fantastic. I'm so happy that you're on the show today. And I'm really interested and I'm really fascinated about your book. And a lot of people have been talking about the fifth dimension, and there's a lot of books out there. And when I read your book, I thought this is really, it really cuts through all of the muff and it really simplifies it for the average person out there, which I really appreciate because I have a lot of people on the podcast that listen to it are just learning and expanding and interested in spiritual development. And sometimes a lot of the material out there, you just get lost, literally you get lost in space. And when I was reading your book, I thought, you know, this is really, really, really fantastic. So what was the premise behind writing the book?
Well, I actually didn't really know I'd ever write a book. I have a family member named Joanne Kiger, who was an author in my family. And she had written over 35 books. She was part of the Allen Ginsberg crew. She was a very famous poet. And when I was growing up as a child, I would always write poetry. And I had healing abilities as a little girl, but I never thought I would be an author, like writing of a book, until after I had two near-death experiences back in 2013. And after I had came home and was recuperating in my wheelchair in a collar and suffering greatly with a lot of pain, I started recording my experience of this in this recorder, because I had nothing better to do because I was just sitting in my wheelchair day in and day out. And I kept hearing messages from spirit, that I really didn't know if I was going to make it. Actually, it was really very grim time in my life. I was super depressed. I was leaving behind a life that I loved. And, I started experiencing a lot of, as you would say, paranormal occurrences as I was starting to become a full-blown trance channeler.
Okay. So one of the things it was really intriguing is that I've had the opportunity to talk to people who had near-death experiences, and they usually come back and they have these extraordinary gifts or are reawakened. Why do you think, or why is it necessary for some individuals, for some souls, it's necessary or as part of their plan to have a near-death experience, to go through all that trauma, to go to the other side and reawaken their gifts? Why is that happening?
I can't say for other people what their gifts are, or why they had that happen to them. I don't know. I don't really think that it's part of a plan. I don't know what other people do. I know that there's many ascending masters that didn't have near-death experiences. I don't think Jesus had one, or the Virgin Mary did, or Yogananda. I just know my path and my awakening happened. I was born with gifts and I think there's people that have to learn a talent. You can learn how to play piano, you can learn how to do mediumship, you can learn different things. And then certain people have gifts that are reawakened in their life because they're born with a gift and a talent.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just thought it was interesting because it just seemed like, I mean, you had these extraordinary gifts as a child, from what I remember in the book, and, you know, they were suppressed through the trauma of childhood and all the different things that you had to go through. And, you know, I've heard similar stories where that, where, you know, the gifts were reawakened, you know, during the childhood, you're open, you're connected to source and spirit, and you just have that vitality as a child, and the veil's so thin, you're basically between one side and the other, and, you know, it's just a magical time. And then all of a sudden trauma hits, and then, you know, all the different things that happen during childhood that could close somebody off. And I've always been curious to see, like, okay, so why is it that you had to go through all that trauma, you closed off, and then you had to go through more trauma with the near-death experience? Like, you literally had to die to remember that. And I just find it was so, so fascinating, and why that happened. Have you any clue to why it happened to you?
I don't. I just keep moving forward. Yeah, I don't really think about it. I had a lot of trauma in my life, but I don't really think about it. I just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it was really a beautiful part of the book.
There's a lot of people that have near-death experiences and they don't have any gifts that come from it. So there's many. I run into NDE people all the time and they don't have any gifts at all. They just become speakers, or they write books about their NDEs, but they don't have any gifts of doing any kind of things. And my gifts are very unusual gifts. Not only am I a medium that talks to the dead and also to ascending masters that come through, but I also am a healer, and yeah. I'm a very profound healer. I've been tested at many medical institutes, and I plan on doing some teaching coming up.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think I saw one of your posts that you're at another institute, but that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because as far as healers go, now, we've all kind of seen, you know, we talk about hands-on healing, and, you know, for all us, you know, people who are Christian, raised Christian, we all know, like, Jesus, and there's a lot of the ascended masters to lay hands on that. But you actually were tested at the IONS, which was, I thought, wow, how did that happen? Because that's, you know, the Institute of Noetic Sciences with Dr. Shelley was the gentleman that maybe have tested you. But I thought it was so fascinating that how did that experience, I mean, you come back, you have these amazing gifts, and then all of a sudden you're basically now at these institute being tested, and they were quite extraordinary. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, all of the testing just sort of fell in my lap. I started at the SciTech Institute up in, I think that was like the Orange County area. That was first. And then I went to Norman Shealy. That was the second place. And then the third one was IONS.
Okay.
And they were all just being discovered, sort of like maybe you're an actor being discovered and going to the Oscars, or somebody that just has a natural talent and getting called right in my home and asking me, do you want to come out and be double blind tested? And I'm not knowing who these people are or what's going on. And I get flown to their organizations, and they start testing me with multiple clients and people. And I start getting tested with these individuals. And quite frankly, it was boring. Most of them, the tests that I was being put through, my guides would do the test and then want to go even further with the test. Yeah. Because my guides and my brain always go further and want to go further. And because my psychic abilities are very advanced.
Yeah, that's one of the things I saw, that somebody, I was watching one of the videos, and somebody referred to you as like a human MRI.
Back then, yeah. Back then it was like an MRI machine. I would go very fast through the body and I would screen people. And Dr. Shealy found out about me when I had gone to this trip in New York City. And I was doing multiple scans on a lot of people at the Life Balance Center. And they would find the root cause, the medical root cause of why people would say had breast cancer, or maybe they didn't know they had breast cancer. And I would say, there's an energy around the breast. And the person say, I don't have anything wrong with my breast. And I'd say, well, my guides are saying there's something wrong with your breast. And they would later on find out they had 4-stage breast cancer. But why do they have breast cancer? So I'm the person people go to find out why you got it. I find the root cause of why somebody has something. But not only that, I was finding multiple things wrong with people's bodies that they don't have to tell me anything about. The issue is that everything comes from a cause. And so I'm the person people go to find why somebody has something. So that was first why I got discovered. And then I'm also told to lay hands on people and do healing.
Yeah. So with all the people that you've worked with over the years, have you found like the root causes are very similar and they're very similar things that are causing this disease? Or it's just a multitude of various things that happen throughout life, whether it's genetic, trauma, emotion, you know, food, diet, toxins, whatever it is. Is there any one thing specific that you say, okay, this is what's happening? So let's say, for example, you were just mentioning breast, like breast cancer. Is there a certain pattern or energy that you're recognizing that are in most patients who have breast cancer?
Well, this is October Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I'm bringing up breast cancer. Yeah. But, you know, there is a lot of things that do fall in line with cancer as any immune suppressed condition. And there's things that fall in line with, you know, MS or Parkinson's or brain issues. But physically, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, I'd say environmentally, you know, in my book, I talk about all of it is a dimensional frequency, and it all lays in with how we eat, how we live, and everything kind of has to be aligned together, you know, how everything is. And we live in a third dimensional world, which is toxic right now. And we are moving into a higher dimensional frequency. That's what the book's called, The Awakening to the Fifth Dimension. So if somebody's going to say to me, well, I have a very clean diet, Kimberly, and I have a very, I'm Christian, I have a very clean diet, and, you know, and then once I get into their real diet and their real spirituality, you know, what is religion and what is a very clean diet? Yeah. I will soon find out that their diet isn't clean. And in fact, being religious is great. But in fact, maybe they're living with somebody that is yelling at them all the time. And maybe they're drinking, you know, a water that's a filtered water. But a filtered water is okay to cook in, but drinking a filtered water is not giving them any minerals, or it's not helping their body with hydration. And maybe they're showering, just for an example, with tap water. So they're breathing in something that's hurting their lungs. So
interesting.
Where I come in and help them understand that's not a fifth dimensional way of life. So everything has to be lined up together to really, really be helping your body.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that was the practicality approach that I liked to your book. And one of the things I loved about it is that you have a glossary. And because so many of these terms get thrown around and they can be very, very confusing. And it's like, what are you talking about? Third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're living in it? I mean, sometimes, even when I first started out, when people started telling me this, I was like, talking about like third dimensions, all these multidimensional energies. And I was like, oh, you guys are crazy, you know, but now I drank the Kool-Aid. I understand, you know, did some research on it. So that was one of the things, you know, I really loved about the book. So can you just kind of walk us through just like the different dimensions for those who are listening to that? Of course, we want you to buy the book, but I just want you to understand, you know, about the third dimension, what we're at right now, and then the fourth, and then the fifth, and maybe just kind of just touch on that if you could.
Well, a third dimension is nothing that Kimberly made up. I mean, these dimensions have been going on since Jesus Christ was here. Jesus Christ was in a fifth dimensional state of consciousness, because a fifth dimensional energy is something where a frequency is very high, where anything can happen, where you can just put your hand on something and it disappears. So an energy frequency can dissolve matter. And he walked on water. So somebody may say, well, I don't believe Jesus was even a man that could do anything like that, or could turn, you know, anything into any kind of matter and make it disappear. Well, he did exist. And the Wikipedia says Jesus didn't do any of this. So when they decided to call me to go to these institutes, I channel everything through my eye, blinking through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's been blinking through my eyes since I was born. And I don't do anything unless my eyes say yes or no.
Okay.
So they wanted to test me to see if I was real. I could have said, I don't want to go. And I said, I would go. The reason the book's called The Awakening to the Fifth Dimension is because the publishers wanted it to be called that, not because of Kimberly.
Okay.
The Awakening to the Fifth Dimension is because we're circling right back down to the beginning of times, where the awakening was in a higher dimensional frequency, where we came into the fifth dimension, where people were able to see and witness miracles. Fifth dimension is, I'm going to start at the fifth dimension, because dimension is the highest frequency, which is going beyond like the 12th dimension and beyond. There's many dimensions. Five is just one we want to be in, where anything and everything can happen, where we see more and more miracles occur. So when I'm at the expos, where I'm out at events, and there's a lump or a tumor, and people say, I want it dissolved. Yes, let's have it gone. It just is gone. They say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and it's released out.
Well, and it's- so one of the things, have you, does it work on skeptics? Do you have to?
So let's go to the third dimension real quick before we talk about skeptics.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
A skeptic, you know, a skeptic is somebody to me that can be on every corner, and they're everywhere, because we live in a third dimension.
Okay.
And a third dimension is somebody that wants to sit around and worry and have fear in their body, and pick up a can of Coke or go through a drive-through Jack in a Box, and also use fluoride. And also I'm looking at food in 3D, and I'm looking at tap water in 3D, and I'm looking at war in third dimension, and I'm looking at somebody that doesn't want to meditate and pray. So prayer and faith is the fifth dimension also. So you have your choice. There's love, and there's the energy of Christ's light, that's fifth dimension. And then there's fear. So you either open yourself up to the energy of the highest consciousness, which is fifth dimension, or you go into a third dimensional reality.
So basically, this is basically the third dimension. And this is, you can actually see it, and it's very palpable right now with all the fear and everything else.
Fourth dimension, real quick. When people ask, well, what's the fourth dimension? Fourth dimension is spirituality. It's a lot of fourth dimensional energy. It's very smooth. It's very angelic. It's a bridge. It's like there's a lot of fourth dimensional spiritual. It's not very tangible when you're going into like a fifth dimensional energy. The fifth dimension is very powerfully magical. So it's like you saying you have 24 hours to live, and you have cancer, and you can tap into that energy and say, no, I am healed. I'm accepting the Holy Spirit. I'm accepting the omnipresent in my body, and I am healed.
Wow. That's fantastic. Now, when you started working and started healing and putting hands on people, were there a set of guides that showed up specifically to help you with that?
You know, it's interesting, because a lot of things happened to me during that time that I didn't really want to do. You know, I was just like being used. I was hearing messages and I was around a lot of ministers and people going, do you know you're channeling this woman? And I'd be like, who's that? They're like, she was a faith healer in New York City. And we knew her. I'm getting chills when I even say her name. And I'm like, I don't know who that person is. They're like, you're channeling her. And I'm like, I am. So I was stomping my left foot down on the ground and I'd put my arm up and I would say these words. And I was going like this, like a Baptist preacher. And I would say, say you accept the Holy Spirit. Say you're healed. And I would be doing this in front of like 300 people. And some man would go, do you know a woman named Catherine Coleman? I said, Catherine who? She was at Carnegie Hall in New York City for 20 years. And I'd say, how would you know that? I just got out of the hospital 2 years ago. And I'd go, you're channeling her. And I'd say, I don't know that. And they say, my son hasn't walked. And he's walking now. And I'd say, I didn't know. And I'd say, I'd put my hand on him, I'd say, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'd be saying all these prayers. Now, I came from an Italian Catholic mom, but my stepfather was Jewish and he raises in a very strict Jewish home. So I also knew the Jewish prayers. So I'd start saying the Hebrew prayers, Catholic prayers, but my grandmother was also Christian. So I knew all the prayers. So people were coming up to me going, I'm Mormon, will you pray on me? I'm Christian, will you pray on me? I'm Jewish, will you pray on me? I'm like, I'm praying on everybody. So anyway, all of these places I was going to, and this booking agent that I was working with, who is one of Sarah's friends and clients, he was booking me, and he's Jewish, at all these places in New York. And he was like, she'll pray the Holy Spirit on anybody. And everybody was coming up, and I was praying on everybody. It was bizarre.
Wow. That's, I love hearing those things, you know, because there is that part of free will. But then when we made that choice of our soul to say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, there's no really stopping it. Like, you know, spirit has a plan. You signed up for it. You're going to be doing this. And if you have to go to a synagogue with a large synagogue with 400 people, and you're going.
We were going everywhere and I'm putting hands on people. So that's how I got discovered with the book. The publishers, one of them came out and saw me at the expo and I was putting my hands and I said, do you want to be healed? And he goes, yes. I said, say you're in the fifth dimension. I'm in the fifth dimension. Do you accept the Holy Spirit? I accept the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're sick and you have something in you, you're going to, if you want to be healed, he said, I accept the Holy Spirit. The whole room goes, and then he goes, and then the lump flew off him. And then he goes, it's gone. Everyone goes, yay! And everybody's like screaming. And then I'm like, and then it just, we kept going and going and going. And everywhere we would go, people were being healed.
Wow.
And it wasn't me. They were just going through my body, using my energy. And it would go out.
Straight out like that. I love hearing that. Yeah, because, you know, the thing is, you know, when you have that there, I'm surprised you're not inundated. You must be inundated with calls and emails all the time. Like, you know, I got this aunt over in some foreign country somewhere in the, you know, the Middle East or somewhere, or in Australia, like, you know, You must have a team of people just going through emails.
We get
requests.
It's interesting, Michael, because we were so packed before COVID. I mean, it was unbelievable. But after COVID, the expos got, you know, squashed. All of our live events were squashed. My book came out as a COVID book, and meaning we couldn't go on tour with it. And it was a little bit rough. So now we're just getting back out again. I headlined the expo, so I'll be featured at the expo again in February. And nothing's going to stop the Holy Spirit. And I'm one of those psychic mediums that people know is with the Holy Spirit, which is not a lot of them are not, which is fine, but I can't stop myself from being that girl. That's me.
You've unleashed it. You've really embraced it, which is so good. It's so passionate, because that's the driving force that we need in this world, is just that abilities and those that passion just to express yourself in that way, which is so beautiful. And like you said, it was just a timing thing. You need to, we need to settle up. Now we're going to ramp things up
back out again. It was so funny. The first time I ever did that Conscious Life Expo, I remember I was like, are you sure? They had Kimberly Meredith channels the Holy Spirit. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, because I mean, I would be so worried that, Spirit would say, you know what, we're not going to just show up today. We're just going to let her and see what happens with her today. Because sometimes they have a mind of their own, they'll kind of show up. And can you imagine that? Packed hall. There's 300 people there to see you channel the Holy Spirit. And there you are just sitting there going, okay, where are you guys? What's going on?
Every time they send me out, the first time I went, I go right out to the first lady in the audience. I said, come up. She comes up. I said, they're telling me you have cancer in your left breast. She goes, I do. The whole room goes crazy. Wow. And they go right to her breast. Every time God sends me out, they have a mission.
Yeah. I think it's not only the healing thing, but I just think the increase in faith in something, something larger than themselves, because we've just gone far, far away from that.
And they don't care. Sometimes I cry about it, because it's not that they don't have an interest in me and my welfare, but they don't. They really have an interest in what they want to do, what they want to prove, what their message is about. Like someone will say, oh, you got Harper's Bazaar magazine, or you got this magazine, or you got that thing. And they'll say, how'd you get it? And I'll say, I don't really know. And they'll say, or how'd you get that happen? I don't really know. I didn't die. I stayed because they wanted it. They happened to pick me for a reason. Who knows why? Probably because I'm a simple person. I've been that way since I was a child. I've always cared and loved, and they just have a plan. And they, like you're saying, they want to show that God is here to be honored. It's about God's plan and God's will. And they want to show that we can heal through God.
Yeah. I think that's so important, because it's so lost. Like we're slowly getting back. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about the G word, but source, the idea of coming, just reconnecting to it is such an important part that we've lost. I mean, I've always tried to figure out, when did we really lose our way? Like, how long ago did we really lose our way, and what's contributed to the loss? Like, why have we gone so far away from it?
You know what I feel like? I remember when I was, I remember my aunt was really into, like, my one aunt, she was really into, like, she used to drag me to, like, Marianne Williamson and the S groups. And I used to go to, like, the Self-Realization Center, and I would be, like, bored or something. I'd go, I don't want to go. And she would, like, be really into all of that. And I think it's, like, interesting, because I love Yogananda and all of that. I think it was kind of then, and people just kind of moved away from it. They were like, want to be more into materialistic things. And it's kind of, they're forcing us back into more family, more of community and love now. And it's going to be more about that now, people loving their brothers and sisters. And
I love that. It's so necessary right now, because you just see this wave of craziness. That's all I can really best way to describe it. And it's being exposed on a large level, how dysfunctional everything is, and the need for community, the need for, the simple basic things, and that idea that I am my brother's keeper. I mean, I am the one responsible, that I can be that person out there and help people. And it's a community idea. And we've just, before it was said, it was all about me, me, me. And we got to get back to we, in that
self-service. Yes,
yeah, self-service. Yeah. And I still appreciate that. And I really appreciate that work that you're doing.
Yeah, I love to do a variety of events. Like I'll always do an event where we give some funds to us. And then we do a lot of nonprofit events. Like I do a Virgin Mary nonprofit event. We're doing our breast cancer awareness event this weekend, which is just donations. And I love keeping my rates low. I try to keep them low so we can keep people from coming to come to us, keep people coming to us for sessions. And I feel
you, you still do individual sessions at your level?
I do.
Wow. I'm really impressed because because you're living in California, correct?
I do. I have a clinic in Encino that I go to just 2 days a week, Mondays and Tuesdays. And then I also do Zooms.
Wow.
That's time when I travel, of course. So I block out that time. But I try to see people one-on-one, which is really, I love it. I really do.
Wow. Because usually when, I mean, you're quite well-known. You're one of the OG famous healers out there, right? So you could charge whatever you wanted to. And you could also just not even do it anymore. You just do a seminar talk, you know, make a ton of money and that, but you're still the fact you're still grounded on the individual and helping them. I'm very, very impressed. Like, as I've known, like you've been in the industry long enough, you know, the people, they get a couple of books, they get a book to go on tour and then they change. They're no longer in service. It's more about service than that. And you, yeah, I can see you're just shaking your head already. Cause
I do feel that because I'm a psychic and a medium and an author, and I have some goals that I want to do with my life, I feel like when you're a medium and a psychic, it's a little different because I feel like I can't get away from doing the readings. Like even when I like to jump on Instagram, I like to go on and do readings for people during the day. Like sometimes I'll do like one or two times. Like I like to go on because I always feel or hear them talking. And it's like, it's weird when you're it's a little different when you're like just a public speaker and an author, but when you're a psychic medium, you hear and you can feel like someone needs me. So like today I knew someone needed me and it was a very important person. I'm getting chills. A client brother is going in for open heart surgery. And the mother, I'm getting chills right now. She is trying to contact one of my clients to talk to her before her son goes in to tell her that he's going to make it through the surgery. It's a huge surgery and that the doctor's a good doctor and that he's going to live a long life. And she was so worried that he's not going to make it. Wow. So when I was alive, she was there. And I just taught at Omega Institute and she was my client. And she was in tears and she said, "Oh my God, I feel so much better now because I'm so worried about my baby brother because he's my best friend." And her mom is on the other side. So I kept hearing to go on there today.
Do you think she was prompting you to go on?
The mother was from the other side. Yeah. And she popped right up and she goes, "My baby brother is having open heart. He was born with an open hole in his heart."
Okay. Wow.
But how would I know the mom's going to come flying through like that and give me the message? But she kept saying, like all day I kept hearing, "Go on, go on, go on, go on." And he's not going anywhere. His wife needs him, his family needs him, and he's going to live a long life.
Yeah. Do you find when spirit prompts you, and if you're not paying attention or you're not listening to him, they'll just keep ramping it up until you do what they're saying? It's like, go on, go on, go on. And if you just said, like, I got stuff to do. I got groceries to do. I got this to do. But it's like, you better go on. You better go on. And they'll just keep
So
harassing
that's
you in a very lovely way.
That's my calling. Yeah, I have to do what the calling says. And also, my next book is about soul frequencies, readings, soulmates, timelines. I can't wait. The next book is about more of the numbers and the frequencies and more about the ascending masters and stuff.
Wow. So do we have a time frame on that?
I already wrote my book proposal. I just don't know where and when I'm going to finish it all. Yeah, but it should be like a year or so.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically just making up for lost time with the other book. And I mean, that's very, very popular. I mean, and then you get the second book there. I mean, I love the idea of that second book. I mean, because then you introduce people to this new way of living, a new way of consciousness. And so you built the groundwork with the first book, and then now you take it up to the next level. And, you know, I think that's really important. So I think that's really amazing.
I don't think I'll ever be like my beautiful cousin. She was quite, I remember when I was little and I would write, she'd say, I really loved her a lot, but she was just amazing. She died, of cancer. But she is quite the poet.
Yeah. Does she ever show up once in a while and she just like pops in, you know, say, hey, what's going on? Because now that you're so open, like, you know, like everybody's going to be visiting you. They're all popping in for like tea, but instead of tea, they're just popping in for conversations.
Her and Allen Ginsberg are popping in around me now.
Well, hey, guys, how you doing?
They're quite they were really good friends. There are all those pictures of them together.
Wow. That is so nice. That's one of the things, you know, I love about the idea about connecting with the other side is that we're just kind of transformed. We're never gone. We're just out of the physical body. And that's kind of thing. We're going to be with us for each other for a long time. So even though we're only here for a short amount of time on this physical world, we're still going to be around. They're just kind of next door, just on the other side.
Yeah, as you can hear me, I turn my head, I can hear them talking. Yeah. Yeah. They love us. They want to help us. And my next book is a lot about making up, like, you know, like you have a little argument with someone on the other side. They want to come in and they do the soul frequency thread, which is the karmic infinity sign. So mm-hmm. they want to make up past life karmic healing with a past life. So they like to come in and heal our past karmic wounds. So a lot of times people will, that we had a falling out with on the other side, they like to come in and heal that up help you.
So is that part of your own plan too, as well? Do you do past life karmic healing too, as well? Or is just whatever spirit says we're going to work on, but do you go back to the past and heal those type of wounds too, as well?
I am now. I wasn't, but now what's been happening in my readings with groups is that, like, say I'm doing a reading with somebody and I'm doing a medical thing, I'll say, did your mom happen to cross and her name, you know, and she's like, yeah, her name is Mary or something. And she's like, she's coming in as a figure eight to me, like an infinity sign. She was a soulmate to you. And the person might say, oh, yeah, but she's telling me your relationship was a little rocky. And the woman may say, absolutely. She's saying she wants to heal that. And the person may say, oh yeah, it was very hard on me. So the mom will fly in and she'll say she wants to help you with your life now. And she's saying, are you having a hard time with your job? And she's saying, the person might say, yes. She's saying she wants to help fulfill your work right now and help you move forward. So maybe the mom felt bad about the relationship and she wants to heal it. So then I'll do some spiritual counseling.
Wow.
The mom wants to come in and heal the past life that she had with the daughter.
Wow. That could be so, I mean, that's the one thing I love about mediumship is to heal those wounds. Like, I mean, there's so much stuff that's left unsaid, or, you know, I guess the biggest thing, like in your book, you talk about the power of forgiveness and how important that is. Like, I mean, it's the toughest thing, but I mean, it's probably one of the most powerful things too, as well. Right.
Yeah. And here's another thing about the power of forgiveness. Thank you for bringing that up, Michael, is that, I touch a lot with my mediumship and past life, with some of the people on the other side that have committed suicide, especially younger people that have taken their lives. And my mom actually had accidental overdose And our relationship was rocky at times. And she comes in all the time. And we have the karmic eight with us, which is the infinity sign. And so what happens with my mom and me is my mom is here to help me help other people heal their past life karmic wounds. And so I help a lot of people who have lost their children and husbands to taking their lives.
Yeah, that's so tragic. I know my own personal story with that is that my stepbrother took his own life a couple of years ago, and it was pretty hard. Like, I mean, it was one of those things that, you know, he looked on paper, he had the real life, but he was struggling mentally, and it was so difficult. But yeah, it's so tragic to someone that young, when somebody young takes their life, and it's always a sad thing. It's very difficult for everybody around that, and even for the individual who has taken their own life, their soul itself. I mean, the struggles that they had to, you know, deal with within their own self, in order for them to take their own lives. Yeah, that could be, you know, very dark too as well. But
it really is. I'm sorry that happened, and also the ones that do take their lives, like my mother. And they want to come back and they want to be the hero sometimes and reunite and say, I'm here and I'm doing okay. And I want to help you with your life now and be a part of it and go on the journey in the next 10 years. Because 2033 is again, the infinity sign, the eight. And that's where we're having our awakening, the ascension.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So a lot of the people, kids and or older people, you know, my mom was pretty young when she died and it was very hard on me. Very hard. And she had some beautiful things to her and some really hard stuff. But she also is really helping people with that infinity. And I do feel that the other side is really rooting for us right now.
Yeah.
And we want to save lives right now. We don't want any more people taking their lives.
No, I definitely not. Like, we want them here. We want them to enjoy life, to find their joy, their bliss, and then just help other people along the way. It's just like one person helping the next person, helping the next person. You know, everybody's struggling at one point in their life. And your story could really be the one that helps somebody else who's struggling with the same thing, or maybe even something worse off like that. So if you don't think that you're helping, your story and working through it and helping others, that's really going to help somebody else. So just think about that too, how powerful you could be in healing somebody else in their journey too as well.
Yeah. And always remember, if you're feeling down or depressed, there's one more day can shift your life. There's something that's the next day will get better. And I'm here for people. You know, I'm a really good spiritual counselor, and it sometimes people just want to talk to me because I can connect you to a relative on the other side that can confirm. I'm an evidential psychic. And sometimes someone will come on to me and go, you know what, Kimberly, I'm so depressed right now. I lost my job. I lost my mother and my father. I'm really down. And then I'll connect to someone on the other side and they'll be like, oh my God, I feel so much better right now. Or I'll pray with them. We'll get in touch with the Holy Spirit, God, somehow, you know, we feel better together. So right now everybody's going through something.
Yeah, that's for sure. So one of the questions I want to ask you, so during your, I don't know if you've ever found this, that when you have your gatherings and you have your group sessions, stuff like that, are you finding that people are always having similar issues within that group? So like, let's say for example, everybody in that group maybe had all cancer, or they had something cancer related, or they had this disease, or they had this sort of trauma. So it made it easier for, instead of having multiple different elements in one group, you just do a group that also have, you go, wait a minute, you had cancer, you have cancer, you have this, you have that. It just makes it easier for you and the Holy Spirit to basically heal this group instead of having multiple things happen.
I wish that was that way.
Well, maybe we should ask them. Maybe we should say, listen, guys, this would be a really good opportunity, you know?
This Saturday probably be more breast, because we're doing breast scans, because we're calling out for breast cancer awareness. But normally it's a mixed bag. It could be everything, you know, thyroid, it could be knees, you know. Yeah, normally it's just a multiple different things of health and emotional. And a lot of people want to talk to the other side.
Yeah.
Well, it's very big right now with talking to the dead. And I'd say I used to do a lot more medical stuff, but now since I am really getting into the other side, people love those readings. And so a lot of people come to me now to talk to their family, but the family, this is hilarious. I'm glad you just brought this up, Michael. But the family will come in, like mom or a brother or a dad, and they'll say, well, by the way, I know you want to talk to me, but you need to get your thyroid checked, or you need to get your gallbladder has stones. And they'll be like, but I want to talk to you about something that went on, you know, in the past, but they don't want to. They want to talk about the health. So it's not my Edgar Casey anymore that used to talk through me about health. It's the mom and the dad wanting to talk about the health.
Wow. So you actually had Edgar Casey work through you?
From the beginning, it's been Edgar Casey. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's maybe why
now we're connected. Now the family's pushing Edgar Casey out of the way.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Eddie, it's your term's done. It's like, they're getting out of the way. And it's like, okay, we need to move in here. Like, you know, see what's going on. But it's just another way. You're almost killing two birds with one stone. One, they get to connect with spirit on the other side, a loved one. And that itself can be healing. But also two is that sometimes, I know for entrepreneurs, they will listen to their grandmother or their mother because they listen to them in this lifetime. So if you're Nona, I was going, you need to go do this. You need to do this. So that person in their life, they will respect and they will follow. If they say, go to the doctor, go get this checked out, they're going to listen to Nona on the other side. But sometimes you say, well, it's my spirit guides. They're going, well, I'm not going to go see my doctor. Oh my God.
Yeah. You are hilarious, because recently when I was in a group, you're so smart. I was like, your mother's telling me this. She goes, you're even acting like her when you go like that. I said, she goes, you sound just like her. And I said, your mom's telling me you need to retire. She doesn't like you working at the dental office. It's been 25 years. She goes, oh my God, there's no way you would have known that. I have been working there 25 years. She goes, and she wanted me to retire before she died. I'm like, she's telling me all this. She doesn't like this. And I was going, oh, she's like, oh my God. So yeah. And it was funny, before when I used to do my readings, it was Edgar and me, and they wouldn't listen to me as much. And now that it's the mother, yeah, or the father doing it, yeah, or the relatives.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, I mean, I didn't know who Edgar Casey was for the longest time until somebody mentioned who he was. And then it's like, oh my God, yeah okay. But, you know, a lot of people still don't know who he is. I mean, more people are starting to know stuff. So if Nona shows up and she tells you to go to the doctor, you're going to listen. Or your aunt, or I guess your Italian Bizia. Is that what it's, I guess.
But now this is what's happened to me in the last 2 years. This is what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That is so hilarious. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that because you're actually acting like them, you have the same mannerism. So it makes it even more impactful, because, you know, it's either finger waving or the hands crossed or the hands on the hips or whatever.
And also, Michael, it's weird too. What's happened sometimes, if they have died of a certain condition, like say lung cancer, I'll start going and I'll start coughing and I'll say, did they happen to die of cancer in the lung? And they'll go, yeah. And I'll start taking on something like a physical attribute of them.
Do you have any problems clearing that energy afterwards?
No, once I'm done with the reading, I feel them fly out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, because I've heard sometimes some people
and come out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard sometimes some people will, like, some of the energies will kind of linger a bit and they won't feel too well and stuff like that. And so
yeah,
that there's always that experience there. But that's so funny.
The only time, Michael, that I feel a little bit tired, it's when I'm at the huge expos, when I'm laying on hands with some pretty intense cancers, I'll feel tired the next day, like maybe a truck ran me over, because if it's really high energy, like we're talking hundreds of people, they're all screaming and getting, it's like being at a rock concert and everybody's going, oh! And then you're laying hands, it could be expected. You feel a little tired the next day.
Yeah. I mean, just the energy itself could be chaotic in those large events. I mean, I struggled with large crowds and stuff like that. I'm pretty sensitive when it comes to energy, but yeah, having that, I mean, then also too, is like spirit's got to jack you up. So your whole vibration, everything's got to change. So to open that up. It's like, sometimes I always, you know, one person said to me, it's like taking your electric toaster and plug it into the oven outlet, right? It's just to get all that energy. It's not meant for that. And sometimes the human body you're jacked up, you know, from all that high frequency. It takes a lot of toll of your body, because then you got all that energy pushing out at the same time too, that they're working through you. Yeah.
When you're doing it, you feel really light, like, cause you're out of your body. But it's fun. I love when I see little kids at the expos. They're really happy and they're doing the fifth dimension work. So it's cute.
Yeah. Do you notice the kids look at you differently? They kind of look at you, stare like, I can kind of see you. Like, they kind of almost like, you know, it's like a regular person, but they have this look upon their face. They're not sure what they're seeing, but they see something different about you, but they're curious and they get that little smile.
Yeah. I love working with children.
Yeah. It's just so impactful.
Yeah. Wow. Are our future, and they love the fifth dimension. I mean, when you go on like TikTok, there's 5D stuff everywhere. You go on, the fifth dimension is really amazing. And I feel like more and more people are getting involved in the energy healing work. And I'm excited about teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's always the next evolution is to do the work and then now teach the people so that they can carry on the tradition, or they can start healing people, or they can just start living their life in a very purposeful way and feeling that connection and feeling connected. Again, this is, you know, speaking of connected, this is one of the things I found about this particular podcast is I got a beautiful DM a couple of days ago. I got a couple of them, to be honest with you. And it really struck to me, because as when you do this type of work, sometimes you always wondered if it's reaching or if it's doing the right thing. And it's like, is it actually doing it? Why am I continue doing this? And I had this lady reach out and she said, you know, I don't feel alone now. I feel like I have a community.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was brought to tears there. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, she felt so alone because she was in this 3D world and she had no one around her who's in this fifth dimensional energy. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's so, so amazing. So hopefully between the two of us, we can get everybody up to that fifth dimension.
Exactly. And understand that, like, you know, they had Reiki. This is just another step higher, which is a little bit higher than the Reiki. People really want to learn how to get into that higher dimensional frequency through the breath work and the healing. And I'm really excited about that in the future, to do that in 2024, more of that.
Yeah, it's going to be some powerful times, powerful changes happening. So with that being said, Kimberly, we're out of time.
Thank you for having me so much. I'm really grateful. Maybe you could come on my show sometime, the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show.
Well, done. You just send me the invite. I'll be there for sure. That being said, Kimberly, I always like to say, where can they find you? So all my, I'll have Kimberly's information, like always. I'll have Kimberly's information in the descriptions below. But Kimberly, where can they find you? Where's all your social media? Where's your website? Where can they find the book? All that good stuff.
Thank you. My book is everywhere right now. Like, you can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And then you can find me and my book and everything and my events and how to schedule appointments with me at thehealingtrilogy.com. It's just like healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, thehealingtrilogy.com.
Okay, beautiful. Just quick question. I didn't ask you this. Do you do remote healing?
I do. I'm on Zoom.
Perfect.
And I also have my office, but Zoom is where I'm at most of the time.
Beautiful. I love that too. So I'll have all that information in the description below. So if you want to pick up the book, you want to have a session, you want to join in one of the events, you know, highly recommend that. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Kimberly, it was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Bless you, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So this has been the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott. Thank you so much for joining me, and goodbye for now.